listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 184. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the designated adult, John Brownstone.
That's me.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Even when I'm adulting.
I never get a day off.
No.
Not with you around.
Sometimes I adult. I adult all the time. Wait, what? You're just the adult in charge.
Yeah.
You're the adultier adult. It seems right.
Okay.
This week, we're talking about having your needs met in your DS relationship.
Mm.
Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. Those reviews really do work, y'all. If your app lets you leave stars or a comment or whatever, it helps us in the algorithm. And then that particular app thinks we're important and shows us to more people and blah, 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 blah. Okay, I will get off of that. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I will forever fucking hate. Yes, I know how to change it. It doesn't matter. I still hate it. LovingDS in the number one, LovingDS1. Or you can subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. And as always, we want to say thank you to our kinky patrons. We love you so much. I feel like I have been a bad kinky patron mom. I've not been posting in there as regularly as I should, but I do see when we get new people, and I'm so glad you're there and you're showing up. I don't care what level you're at. It's all appreciated. We are still, it's an ongoing thing, however long it takes us, but we're trying to get to 100 patrons. Yeah. And when we do, we'll do some extra fun stuff. So you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/KaylaLords. You cannot search for us on Patreon. We are an adult account, so you have to go there directly or click a link. Patreon.com/KaylaLords. Or the link is in the show notes. We do a live stream every month just for our patrons. We do a bonus podcast. It's not a full episode. It's like a bonus section. Yeah. It's shorter. It's us mostly just bullshitting about what we've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
We take topic suggestions, which I haven't asked for lately because I've been running hot. I've got all kinds of ideas.
I know.
But when I need them, that's where I go for them. And I'll be quite honest, if you want to ask me a question and get an answer as soon as possible, patrons get their questions answered faster than other people. Not that I don't answer the questions I get by email or DM, but my top priority will be the kinky patrons.
Always.
So that's patreon.com/KaylaLords. Okay. I stopped talking so he can write down numbers. I do have one announcement.
Okay.
The giveaway is open. The giveaway. It's been open since August 1st. We talked about it last week. We recorded it before the giveaway was actually open. Then I had to run back and add all the links. If you're watching on YouTube, the link is in the description below. If you're listening to the podcast, you can find it if you go to the website, lovingbdsm.net. It'll be somewhere on the homepage, or the link is in the show notes. So what can you win? And why are we doing a giveaway? And what? Okay, so August is our anniversary month for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast turns four.
4 years.
This year. So excited.
4 years old.
It's not a toddler anymore. And we do a giveaway every year for that to celebrate. Our actual anniversary is August 27th. That was the date the first episode was published. Mm-hmm. Nobody was listening at the time, and that was okay. It was totally okay, but y'all are listening now. And so our giveaway this year is a kinky fuckery prize pack. One winner, three prizes. The prizes are from Hot Octopus, you get your choice of either a jet, which is basically a power pack jet pack for a penis. I mean, it looks like it. Looks like your penis could take flight with it, except it doesn't take flight. It gets off. We have liftoff for sure. Or the digit finger vibrator. Depending on your preference in sex toys or which body parts you're trying to put a sex toy together with, you get your choice between those two, jet or digit. You love the jet.
Mm-hmm.
I love the digit. We made a review video that was mostly me going, I love the digit. So singing and all. The other prize is a $50 gift certificate to Kinky Cloth. Kinky we just released a video for Kinky Cloth. They sent us a whole bunch of stuff, so we did an unboxing video and a try-on video, trying on all our new shirts. They will debut soon in videos coming to a theater near you. No, that is wrong. We will wear them eventually.
Yes.
We got new t-shirts. So Kinky Cloth,
$50. We had to buy new hangers for the new t-shirts.
We did. It was awesome. and then the third prize is a special made paddle from John Brownstone.
Yeah.
Which is freaking beautiful, which I still take pictures of and put up online so people can see them.
Maybe what I'll do when we start the bonus section, I meant to have it handy. Maybe I'll slip off and...
And at least video watchers will be able to see it. And yes. Then podcast listeners, you'll want to follow us on some sort of social media so you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the giveaway. Go enter the giveaway. You have all month long to enter the giveaway. We also created multiple ways to enter, and there are two ways you can enter daily. So if you're on Twitter, you can tweet daily about the giveaway. The other way is to share a podcast episode or a video or a something that you really liked that we have created in any way you want to. Like, so you can send it through your WhatsApp group, take a screenshot. You can share a picture of you watching the video on Instagram. You can link to a blog post on your Facebook group. Like, I don't care, but just share the content you like. You can do that, I think, once a day. You can do that. I think I set that for once a day. So, There. Okay, that's a lot of talking about a giveaway. Whew. Let's get into the episode. I think that's all I had. That was all I had. So, let's say this straight up front so there can be no denying how we feel about it.
Okay.
Okay. Your DS relationship should meet at least some of your needs.
Yes.
And I don't care which side of the slash you're on. And I don't care if you're, let's call that person the air quote dominant that they are, says that you don't have needs and your whole purpose is to serve. Your purpose might be for yourself internally that you want to serve the person you're with. I feel you. I get you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like that most of the time. But if that's not a fulfilling thing for you, and even if it is, you have other needs and they need to be fulfilled.
Right.
But let us also say another truth. Most of the time, one human being cannot fulfill every single need you ever have.
No.
It's why we have friends. It's why we have confidants. It's why we have people we flirt with. For some of us who are in consensual, ethical, non-monogamous relationships like we are, poly in practice, that's John Brownstone. Poly in fantasy, that's me. That's how we roll. That's why, part of why we choose that lifestyle. That is not for everybody.
No.
I have had several people recently say to me, do I have to be poly if I want to be into BDSM? And I'm like,
No.
And it's because a lot more people are either openly talking about it or the communities that they're finding, that's a very common thread for people. Many people I know, quite frankly, I have the opposite. I see more people who stay monogamous, that's what works for them, that's what they choose to do, and they're into BDSM. There's no one right way, y'all, of any of it.
What works for you.
Right. And the thing about having your needs met is because one single human being cannot possibly fulfill every single need you will ever have. They can't. They should fulfill some of them. When you're in a relationship like DS, and if you are not okay with the idea of non-monogamy, then for you, it's a matter of deciding, are enough of your needs fulfilled and met?
Well, I think first and foremost, when it comes to your needs, what you need to do... What you need to do is sit down and figure out what they are and understand who you are and how you fit into the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For example, for me, I am a big spanko.
Mm-hmm.
I love spanking. I'll put her or whoever I'm playing with over my knee and spank. And
it's delightful.
Spank till cows come home. So for me, spanking is a big thing. So getting into a relationship with somebody who does not like to be spanked,
they would have to fulfill many, many, many other needs of yours
yeah.
for that to be okay for you.
Right. So, you know, spanking is a very much needed part of who I am. So to be in a relationship where that wasn't being fulfilled would be very difficult for me.
Right. So, and I think that that's an important thing. I think that's why if you are currently single and kinky, it's worth spending time with yourself to figure out what you need. So that when you start looking for a partner, if certain needs are extremely important, like you cannot imagine living without them. Hi, submissives out there and dominants out there, right? You know, if you know you need that, then that has to be on the highest part of your list of criteria for a good match for you. I knew after I went through my post-divorce, let's fuck any guy that looked at me cross-eyed, which worked out well for me a couple times. Worked out quite well for me. and right after I kind of figured out that kink was a thing and I was into kink and oh my gosh, I'm submissive. So I have my first DS relationship. It flames out spectacularly, like many of the first ones usually do. And I knew at that point that while that relationship did not work out, and I was thinking back on the pseudo relationships I had had post-divorce, and I was thinking about my first marriage, that for me, the biggest need that had to get met in a relationship is it had to be DS. I had to be able to be submissive in whatever way that might mean, and that will shift and vary. But I was strictly looking for dominant partners, people, men, because that's mostly my jam, who knew they were dominant. And I wanted somebody who knew he was dominant. I needed that. I was not here to teach anybody. I taught in my first marriage, and that did not work out well for either of us. Needed him to know he was dominant, to have some idea of what that might mean, and to want a submissive partner. That was top, like had to have. And I think most of us in a DS relationship, if you are out there looking for a partner, you know that part. Well, okay, but that's top level. That's in DS. That's probably the highest level. If you're a switch, you might want a partner who is also a switch. Depending on how, whether you're open or poly or not, you might want one partner who feeds your submissive side and one partner who feeds your dominant side. Like, that will be up to you based on what works for you and what kind of relationship style you want. But that's top level in DS. That's like the basic, right? You want a dom, you want a sub, you want somebody who complements that basic urge, because we're talking about DS relationships. Right. Some people know they want to be a slave, so they're looking for a master or mistress. Some people know that they want to be a little in any way that might mean, so they're looking for a caregiver. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's top level. But what about your other needs? What are those other needs? You will not know every need you have. I don't care how much self-reflection you go through. Right away, you might know some of the needs that you have met. Like, you know, you're into spanking. Right. I know I'm into spanking. I know, it's funny. I can take or leave the pain aspect. Like, I am a masochist. There's a certain amount of pain. I'm like, yes, please. But it is not something that I think about on a day-to-day basis. I do not miss it when, like, right now, gone through the past few weeks. No, I've got enough pain my body. I don't need anybody to add anymore.
That's the wrong kind of pain, though.
So for me, it's not that kind of need where if it never got fulfilled, I would feel like something was missing. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that I do know, and this was a weird need to realize, I need my sex to be rough. Now, we haven't had sex in a couple weeks either. Same reason. Yeah. But I know I have to have rough sex. And I don't have to have rough sex. But sex feels incomplete if there's not a rough power element to it. Didn't even have to be with my dominant. It's whoever I'm having sex with. It can't be that sweet, soft, sensuous, the lights are half dim and there's a filter over the camera and everything's all foggy. And that is a need I figured out.
And me either. I mean,
that's not satisfying sex to me.
The rougher, the harder it is, the more I get excited and turned on.
Yeah. And truly, there was a couple of times you were being gentle with me, I think because I was going through whatever neck problem or body ache or whatever. And I was like, well, I'm glad we had the sex, but it's not,
it wasn't fulfilling.
It wasn't fulfilling. And so, yes, I am a grown ass person who can have, you know, a need go unfulfilled every so often because you make sacrifices based on circumstances and situations, but yeah. I could not be in a relationship where I could never have rough sex. Like that, mm-hmm. that would not work for me. But there are other needs. It's not yeah. just sex. It's not just kink.
But see, going back to the original core of the topic, I think what happens as you grow in the lifestyle, as you learn more about yourself, learn more about the lifestyle, you evolve, you grow, you find new things, different things. Some things maybe not that interesting and they kind of go to the wayside. Other things you find, oh, this is something that's really been missing in my life. This is really...
You didn't even know you needed it until
right,
you had it, right?
Until you tried it. And then it becomes something more important to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes another facet.
And that's part of that
dynamic.
The growth and the experience that you gain, that the more you try things, the more experiences you have with one partner or with multiple partners, mm-hmm. doesn't really matter, the more you learn about yourself. There are other needs, though. Now, there are some needs I knew I had and was ashamed of. So long before I could say I was a baby girl, I knew I was submissive. Like, I knew I was submissive. I know that I like to serve the partner I have. I like to be of service. I like to be of use. That fulfills me. That makes me happy. And I shied away from my baby girl side because my baby girl side is the side that needs somebody else to take care of her. That's when I need coddling and I need somebody to go, it's going to be okay. Or I need somebody to tell me to do something for my own good. Now, I might pout and stomp my feet all the way down the hallway, but I'm also a grown-ass woman and could go, no, I'm not doing that. And that's not what happens. I pout and stomp my feet down the hallway and do what I'm told to do because I know that person's taking care of me. But I had a lot of internalized shame about that because I was raised, I don't know if this is an 80s, 90s thing, or I don't know if it's still happening. I'm not raising women, so I don't know. But I was raised with this idea that women are supposed to be independent. Women are supposed to be strong. Women don't need a man. Women don't need anybody to take care of them. And there I was, desperately wanting somebody who would take care of me. Not all the time. Not in a way that meant that I was incapable of taking care of myself. I'm very proud of the fact that I can take care of myself. I know that, better not happen, but I know that I could be alone again and life would suck, but I would survive. Mm-hmm. And I would even thrive. It would suck, but I could do it. But that's not what I want. And I've noticed it mostly post-divorce, but I felt it in my first marriage. I feel it at different times, but there was a lot of shame around it where I thought there was something wrong with me as this independent feminist woman who wanted a partner who would take care of me, wanted a partner who would go, just sit there, I've got this, wanted a partner who'd be like, you need to go to bed. And what I learned is that's part of my baby girl self. I
mean, yeah, well, you'd sit up all night watching YouTube videos if someone didn't tell you to go to bed.
That is also true, yes. Which is why I stomp and pout all the way down the hallway until we go to bed. And then I'm happy once I'm in the bed. I'm like, oh, this is where I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because no, sometimes I would not take care of myself in the healthiest way. So that was a need I felt for a long time. And I was scared of that need because of what I thought that need said about me.
Mm-hmm.
So some things like that, I never really got to experience until DS because I happened to both times have partners who could feed that need. They were willing to take care of me because I was willing to accept their care. Not without a little bit of fighting, not without a little bit of struggle. I had to learn to accept that need internally as it was being fed externally. So some things you're going to need, and there's going to be some part of you that's telling you that you shouldn't need it. The word that I know to be very leery of now is should. Can, will, won't, all those words, okay, fine. Should, my therapist says you're shoulding all over yourself. because should is more of an external thing. It's about what other people think you're supposed to want and need or do with your life. And most of the time, what we think internally, what is important to us, is the true thing. That doesn't mean we always want things that are healthy for us. Sometimes we have to break some cycles and habits there. Not every need is the best need we could have, and it may come from something else that's happened in our life, and so we've taught ourselves to need something that is not good for us. But most of the time, for most of us, we're saying to ourselves, well, I shouldn't want that. I shouldn't need that. Anybody who came to kink with any level of shame about dominance or submission, you've already been through this. You know, mm-hmm. I shouldn't want to have power over my partner. I shouldn't want to hit my partner. I shouldn't like to be hit by my partner. And we've already shit it all over ourselves.
And that's a very, very common thing. I went through that. And I was very surprised when I was finally able to talk about it, even brought it up in a munch one time, and was amazed at the number of other dominants who were like, yeah, me too. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a real thing, and it does happen there, because as men, we are taught you don't hit a woman, right. Especially a woman.
Right, and that's a good lesson to learn. Well,
you don't just go blatantly out and start hitting on someone, but you know it's something that can be so ingrained in you mm-hmm. that you know when you're faced with that. It's
overwhelming.
It can be overwhelming.
And there can be a lot of shame, and a lot of people repress their needs for a very long time mm-hmm. because they've got that internalized shame. They've been taught right. by society, by their family, by whoever, that they're not supposed to want that. When you start talking to yourself internally, on paper, however you get introspective about your needs, if the thing you're saying to yourself is, I shouldn't need this, that needs to be a red flag to you that that is society telling you what you should or should not need. BDSM, kink, it is on the fringes of society. It might be forever. Certainly might be for our lifetimes. Who knows? Maybe it'll go mainstream one day. But it's because a lot of what we do, fetishes, kinks, just power exchanges, are not accepted by a vanilla world and a vanilla society. I think that's getting a little bit easier. It's one of the few good things to come out of 50 Shades of Grey. But it also leaves room to explore desires that mm-hmm. could get you shunned by a vanilla society. Because there are, with consenting partners, safe ways to explore things that your brain is going, I should not want to do this. And if you can find safe and consensual ways to explore why this thing or that thing turns you on, you can decide, oh, I don't actually need this. Yeah, I had that experience. It was great. Or, oh, wow, no, this fulfills me and this makes me mm-hmm. happy and this makes me feel complete as a human being. I'm going to keep exploring it. And you're doing it, hopefully, in a safe way that respects consent from all parties and is done in a way that is, society might not accept it, but society doesn't accept most things. So quite frankly, fuck society. And you're doing it in a way that fulfills you and maybe even fulfills and gratifies a partner. You never know what their needs might be. Mm-hmm. So there are some things that can be problematic in kinks and fetishes. People being fetishized is problematic. Race being fetishized, gender, sexuality being fetishized is problematic because you stop seeing the person and you see this characteristic about them, and that's not good. But knowing that you, whoever you are attracted to, pick a group of people, pick a mm-hmm. type of person, right? And your brain is going, I shouldn't like that. I shouldn't be into that. That the should or shouldn't is the signal that you're not tapping into your own needs. You're listening to what society has been teaching you.
Yeah.
And there are safe ways to play within those things that society deems unacceptable, like hitting your partner. I mean, the basic one that I think we all, even if you're not into impact play, the one we all recognize is hitting your partner. Like mm-hmm. in a vanilla world, in a non-consensual way, anytime there's no consent, we don't hit other people. I've spent 14 years of my life as a mother saying we don't hit other people, and in my head going, unless they want it. it's a little weird when you're a parent and you're trying to teach those object lessons of consent.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm actually lying through my teeth right now, because the rest of the sentence is we don't hit people who don't want to be hit, but that's a hard lesson for a five-year-old, so we don't teach that lesson.
Yeah, not yet. Don't go there yet.
So I use that as the example, because even people who aren't into impact play know, like, okay, you're into bondage. We don't tie up people who don't want to be tied
up.
That's
true.
Right? And but that's the thing. That's the key to remember. If you're analyzing your needs, if you're analyzing desires, if you're thinking, well, what turned me on the last time I thought about it, And it could be anything. It could be things I can't even dream of because I'm not that imaginative.
Mm-hmm.
If what your brain is telling you is that you, quote, shouldn't be into it, that's the red flag. That's where that society telling you most of the time, that society telling you what is and isn't okay. And the cool thing about kink and BDSM is we're all about throwing off the shackles of a vanilla world.
Conformity?
Yeah. Fuck conformity, right? It's about tapping into our deepest desires and then finding a consenting partner who will explore those desires with us. I think that's probably the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, that... So somebody in the chat here on YouTube asked about, well, what about karmic halves? So I'm not going to pretend I know anything about the idea of karmic halves. My brain immediately thought soulmates.
That's kind of
how
what
I interpreted that.
That's kind of where...
So to the person who mentioned karmic halves, if that's not a good comparison, please leave a comment and tell me what you meant. But I am going to talk about the idea of soulmates. So first of all, I think most of us have heard, if not been taught, oh, we're all looking for our one true soulmate. And some people go, that's a bunch of bullshit. And some people are like, yep, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I will tell you that I believe firmly that I have my soulmate. And his name is John Brownstone. I can also, in the very next breath, tell you that he cannot fulfill every single possible need I will ever have in life. He fulfills the most important ones. He makes some needs that I might have seem less important because of what he does do for me and how he fulfills me as a partner, as a woman, as a baby girl, as a submissive, as of all the things that I am. But when I have secret fantasies of a woman topping me, he cannot fulfill that need.
Nope.
It is
no matter
not,
how hard I try.
Nope, just not gonna work. It is a need that is not an overwhelming, gotta have, can't think about anything else need. It's a, that might be nice. That might be something to explore one time. Yeah. It's not a need that's so big and important to me that I have to say to him, okay, we have to find a way for me to fulfill this need because I feel incomplete without it. It's one of the smaller needs. It's one of the lesser needs. My biggest needs, he fulfills. He listens fully. He doesn't always understand, but he accepts even the things he doesn't understand. He is the daddy to my baby girl. He is the dom to my sub. He's the sadist to my masochist. But you know what? I have other people in my life that listen as closely as he does. I know other people who, if I needed them to dish out some pain that I enjoy, could do it. So when I say he's my soulmate, it's not because we have a tit for tat kind of give and take where he's the only human being on the planet who could spank my ass in a way that makes me happy. That's not what connects us. It also for us, and this is because my eyes have been opened over the years to consensual non-monogamy and open relationships. I can have that with him, and I know I can still have a deep connection with another human being, whether it's romantic or sexual or just platonic, and it does not negate the connection I have to him. So that is not me trying to tell everybody who's monogamous they need to try them some non-monogamy. No, I'm not. I do not preach that. But it is a lesson that I learned over time because anybody who's been listening to this podcast for 4 years, I said it seriously, but I really did mean it as a joke that I'd cut a bitch. And you know what? I would still use that joke. Come for my daddy, I'll cut a bitch. But it's not the, oh, there's somebody interested in him and he's interested in them. It's those people who sneak around and try and tell him that he will forget all about Kayla Lords when he gets a taste of them.
I'll cut a bitch. I get a chuckle out
of. Oh my God. That
used to happen a lot. Oh, I'll make you forget about her.
Right. Those are who I mean. But you've got connections with other people that I can even sense them if I'm like around him and the other person, or if I'm witnessing a conversation they're having online, you can feel that he's connected to that person. And there was a time I would have been very concerned about that because I believed, as many people do, that you can't be connected deeply to multiple people. And I don't believe that anymore. And it's because I understand the connection that I have with you, and because my most important needs do get fulfilled in this relationship.
Right.
And the other reason I talk about this is that I know for a fact, and you know very well too, you have needs I am physically incapable of fulfilling. whatever. True. Like, don't have the desire, don't have the equipment, don't have the temperament. Like, pick a thing on some of his needs. I am the wrong person for it.
Yeah.
So there are some people who go, well, you just shouldn't be together. Well, but what? No, fuck you. Because he does have a certain set of needs that I do fulfill and that I am the right fit for.
Yes.
So I think that comes to the part that somebody out there is going to go, but what if I have needs that this partner doesn't fulfill? And I think you have two options. Feel free to disagree if you'd like. You either, in my mind, decide if those needs are that. If you are monogamous, you have to decide if that... if the needs are not being met are needs that need to be met, mm-hmm. to be met. How many times can we say, should turn this into a drinking game. Take a shot every time I say need. And only you can decide if those are that important or if they're things that you can fulfill in other ways. Read erotica, watch porn, masturbate. Like, can you? I don't know. And sometimes you're with the wrong person. If you are monogamous and you want one partner and you to be their only, them to be your only, then you might be with the wrong partner. If you are willing to explore open relationships, non-monogamy, it becomes hairier because now you've got a lot of navigating to do. But then you kind of open up your world a little bit to, okay, this partner fulfills these needs. Can another partner fulfill any of this other list of unfulfilled needs?
Right.
That's a choice you can make. And it's only a choice that you can make. And there is no right choice or wrong choice. I do think there are a lot of relationships, vanilla kink, doesn't matter flavor, that there are two people sticking together because they've now put in the time, they've now put in the effort, none of their needs are getting fulfilled. And instead of just breaking that relationship off, as hard as it is to end a relationship, especially a long-term one, they stick it with it, even though both of the parties are miserable because none of their needs are getting met. They're not willing to talk mm-hmm. about it, or if they talk about it, it's like they're speaking two different languages at one another, and they can't find that middle ground. I was in a 12-year relationship where not one single need of mine was getting met that I did not meet for myself, okay? Like, not one. Mm. Not one need, okay? Other than that of childcare for small children, and as I learned through the divorce, I'll pay for that shit. And it was hard, but it was the right thing to stop being with a person who could not and would not meet my needs, with whom I no longer wanted to try to meet their needs. Like, I'd spent time trying to meet their needs and didn't get mine met. And then we got to a point where there was no working it out. There was no trying again. There was no path forward. And now I'm at a place, because I've had that experience, where I'm not interested in being with a person, because I don't do casual. Some people do casual and I'm just not that type. Because I don't do casual, I'm not interested in being with a person who actively doesn't meet my needs.
Well, that really makes the point, because your major needs were not being met. Mm-hmm. So intrinsically, you were not being fulfilled in any way.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So see where that got, you know, where that leads. It comes down to the core needs mm-hmm. being met.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I said in the beginning, you need to truly understand what your core needs are.
And some of those needs, you're not going to know until you figure out you're not getting them, or you thought you needed something else and you're like, oh, wait, no, I was just given the thing I thought I needed, and that's not a good fit. It doesn't...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how other people would describe it or experience it, but I have noticed for myself that when something is right, it's almost like it just clicks into place. When I figured out I was submissive, and I've said this many, many times, it was like I was finally whole. There had been a puzzle piece missing, and I knew it was missing, and I knew mm-hmm. something wasn't quite right, but I could still function, so it was fine. And the moment I went, oh my God, I'm submissive, and I would almost tell you in my head there was an audible click.
Everything just came together.
All came together. And one, I made so much more sense. And two, I just... So, you know, I know there are a lot of people, dom or sub, that when they figure out who they are, and what they like, they feel a sense of shame about it, maybe because society taught them that or they, whatever mm-hmm. it might be. I did not. I knew I needed to keep it on the down low, but God, I just showed my age there. Nobody says down low anymore. But I never went through that sort of guilt thing or that worry thing. I didn't want anybody to find out I went through that worry thing. I like kind of mm-hmm. freaked out over, oh my gosh, is there like a scarlet S on my forehead now? There's not, by the way. But I felt so much more at peace with myself. And for me, that is usually how I can tell when I'm on the right track with things. Because when it's not a good fit for me, I feel it physically. I feel it mentally. I feel it in all parts of my life because things just don't fit right. And when things are right for me, they're falling into place like a puzzle piece. And it's just, ooh, that was the thing sometimes I knew I needed and sometimes I didn't know I needed. That doesn't mean I don't resist those things. Like I said, I had baby girl needs and desires before I could call myself a baby girl. Wouldn't even like use that term. Like, ooh, no. I'm not a little. I'm not on that spectrum. No. Because I had this false idea of what it meant to be a little in my head. And it was the stereotypes of littles. And it was the other end of a spectrum.
There's a whole broad
right,
spectrum
but
of
that
what
was
that
part
can
of
be.
My journey and part of learning about mm-hmm. kinks and BDSM and power exchange and what all of that means to me.
Right.
So it is not as if you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and just automatically know all of your needs. You're not going to know if all of your needs are ones that are super important to you or if they're even things that can be fulfilled. Some needs are really wants. They're desires. They're things that you're like, yeah, it'd be great if I could have it, but I can live without it too. And only you can decide which, because one person's need is another person's want, right? Like, I need to be the submissive partner in a relationship. And I know plenty of people who, in certain situations, they're happy to be submissive, but they can take that off too. Like, they're taking off a shirt. Like, they can take it off and put it to the side, and it's fine for them. For me, I can function through this life as not submissive, and I do fairly well, and I have my own sort of form of dominant energy, especially in business and all that. But in general, if I could, I would float through my whole life as the submissive partner. Submissive to one person, but still the submissive partner. It's my shirt feels too tight right now. It's like wearing a too tight shirt when I'm in a situation where I want to be submissive and I can't be, right? That's how I know that is a need. That is something I have to have in order to have a fully healthy, happy relationship. So when it comes to needs, I think the stereotype is that dominants get all of their needs fulfilled and submissives don't have to. And I just want to go on fucking record that if you are a kinkster who somehow thinks that the submissive in any power exchange doesn't have to get their needs met, because shouldn't they just need to take care of their dom or do what their dom wants? Fuck you!
that sounds like poorly written BDSM erotica.
Oh my God, it drives me crazy. There is part stereotype to it. I mean, I have had a couple of people approach me with the whole, don't worry, I'm the dominant, I'll take care of all of your needs, and oh, what you need is whatever I want. Fuck you! What? Are there submissive people out there who are very fulfilled by being whoever and whatever their dominant partner wants them to be? And are they fulfilled by fulfilling the needs of their dominant partner? Hell yeah.
Yes.
That does not stop that submissive person from being an autonomous human being with their own needs. Okay? Like, and just, I feel like we've gone so basic on the English language that I am reciting the ABCs. A submissive is an autonomous human being who consents to let the other person be in charge. They can take away that consent at any moment. They should more often than they do, quite frankly. And they have their own fucking needs. And if you are the dominant in a relationship and you don't know what your partner's needs are, you are not spending enough time listening to them, talking about what they need.
Yeah.
Ooh, we've talked about this before.
It comes down to the fact, and I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. this person sitting next to me, I consider her my equal. All right? I do not see her as a diminished person. I do not see her as less than me. We are equals. We are equals that is in a consensual and negotiated power exchange.
And a power imbalance. There is
right.
There is a power imbalance here that we consent to, that I can
right.
withdraw from at any time. I would feel like an incomplete human being if I did, but I could. If that's what I need to do, I could do it. Mm-hmm. And I can tell the difference. And I think if you ever observe any flavor, y'all, kinky or vanilla, doesn't matter. You can tell when both partners know that they are equal to one another, that they are each other's match. And I don't mean match in like a love match. I mean that I see you as fully equal to me and you see me as fully equal to you. I think there's a vibe that is given off because there's a certain amount of respect that you give to one another when you see eye to eye. It is why in my first marriage, I stopped respecting him very quickly. And we absolutely were not equals. And I did not see him as an equal. I did not respect him as an equal. And when I look back at how we interact with one another, oh, it's so obvious. Like, there are times I feel like I should be ashamed because, oh, no, I was not showing respect to him as my equal. And so I show more respect because John Brownstone's in charge, and that's what we negotiated for ourselves, and that's mm-hmm. how we work best. But I also know that at any given point, he sees me as his intellectual equal. He sees me as his human being equal. Like, well, human beings here. And it is not all about him.
You sure? I never did a DNA check on you.
I have way too many paranormal erotic fantasies. Please somebody tell me I'm a shifter and I'm like really a werewolf or really a something else. Like, that's my jam. Do a DNA test. It'd be great. So we come at our power imbalance and our power exchange from a place of mutual respect, which if both partners are going to see to the needs of each other, you have to have that mutual respect. He can't be in it just for John Brownstone because that means he's not respecting me and what I need as a mm-hmm. submissive, as a woman, as a human being, as a whatever. If he can't respect me as his equal, then he can't possibly recognize I have needs that he might not even know about or understand that would be different from his needs. I think we've talked about many, 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 many red flags over the years, and we certainly focus on red flags of dominance. And quite frankly, if you need another red flag, anytime a dominant or top wants to put air quote around that dominant, wants to tell you that they will fulfill every need you have because they'll just know them and you don't have to share and you don't have to talk about it and their needs are your needs. Whew, ooh, run,
scary.
Run. At the same time, to my submissive friends out there, when you try and tell me that your needs are whatever a dominant's needs are, whew, you've been reading too much erotica is all I got to say. You've been watching too much porn. I'm gonna need you to slow down and remember the ABCs of BDSM, of you are an autonomous human being. This is... I think as a quote red flag for submissive, it's not that submissive is not a real submissive, like we would say for the air quote dom. It is that you are uneducated and you are thinking of the fantasy of DS and BDSM when you think you can't possibly have your own needs, or you have been around some bullshit con artists who have like fucked up your education of what it means to be kinky and into BDSM, where they tell you and you've believed for whatever reason that you're not supposed to have your own needs. No, that's not true. You might have needs you don't even know about that you won't even know you have until you explore some kink with somebody. That's very true. You will discover latent needs that never even crossed your mind because you didn't even have the education and the knowledge yet to know that that existed, to know you mm-hmm. needed it. I mean, there are things we find out we need that we didn't know we need until we got it, you know? My most basic is finding out I was submissive. Like, it made total sense. And I was like, oh, yeah, that feels good. That's right. For other people, it's a spanking. For other people, it's wax play. It's pain. It's bondage. It's some, like, obscure kink I can't even think of. Like, you don't even, for as much as you think you know yourself, you don't know yourself until you start having even more experiences than you've already had. Mm-hmm. Because every new experience you have is an opportunity to learn.
Yeah. And Jennifer, I agree with you. There is a certain extent that service does fulfill you.
And I said that earlier.
Yeah,
as
you
a
did.
Service submissive, that is very fulfilling to me to fulfill their needs.
You know, funnily enough, with her not feeling good this week, I have been deliberately not asking her to do some of the things, yeah, see the face, some of the things that she would normally do for me. Last couple days, I've been making my own coffee.
You've been making shitty coffee.
Well, no one makes
it. That you shouldn't have to drink because I make better coffee and just let me make the coffee.
You do make better coffee, but I know what a hassle it is once you get yourself into a comfortable position sitting or laying down. I'm not going to say, get up and make me a cup of coffee.
And you know, it's funny. In the moment, while I'm sitting there, I'd probably be very grateful that I'm not being asked to get up. But it's after the fact. I'm like, wait, what? So let me explain something. When I say that your dominance needs should not be just your only needs, there is nothing wrong, especially if you are a service sub-oriented like I am.
Mm-hmm.
With finding fulfillment and fulfilling your dominance needs. I absolutely agree with that. I know that feeling very, very well. It is why I get pissed off when he makes his own coffee, because he's making shitty coffee. Because I know how he feels about his coffee, and I know I do that well. Don't get in my way, okay? I'll just do it. And for some people who are purely service subs, that might work. As long as they are fulfilled. Fulfilling the needs of their dominant fulfills their needs. It is an equal need, okay? Mm-hmm. It's two sides of a coin. You need to fulfill the needs of your partner. That's a legit need. And if that's what you're doing and that's what you're getting, cool. I'm not saying that can't be its own need. But for many of us, that is not our only need. So I'm a service sub and I'm a sexual sub. So I'm very submissive in bed. Whew. That doesn't mean I don't have preferences. Like we said at the top, mm-hmm. if he decided tomorrow that the only kind of sex we were going to have was slow lovemaking, I would do it because it makes him happy, right? Even he shuddered. I would do it because it makes him happy. But I assure you, there would be times I'd be like, can we do something a little different here? Because I need something different out of my sexual experience. It's the same reason why, yes, technically, my body is available for him to use. We have that kind of sexual submission as well. He can fuck me anytime he wants. Thankfully, he's a decent human being who's like, you know what? There's snot coming out of her face. I'm not going to fuck her right now. Or, oh, God, she's crying with a migraine. This is not the time to fuck her.
Not the right time and place, no.
Right? And I might know intellectually that I am of service to him at any time. He can fuck me on whim. That does not stop me from being fucking grateful that he's like, oh God, she looks miserable. That's just not sexy right now. I'm gonna hold off. I'm gonna go over here and masturbate. Now I will say, and I will admit this as a sexual submissive who wants to be sexually available at all times, I don't have a problem with a partner masturbating. Like, there are people who have a problem with their partner masturbating, and that could be a whole other episode on a whole other podcast. We got to talk about that, y'all. I don't have a problem with it. It's not cheating. I have to put air quotes around that word because, yes, some people think that their partner masturbating without them is somehow cheating. I do not understand that. I fundamentally disagree. Mm. That being said, when I know he's masturbated because he wanted some and I was either unavailable or I don't feel good and he's trying to take care of me, there's a little part of me that goes, oh, he masturbated instead of fucking me. Oh, am I not sending the right signals? Am I not communicating properly that I'm here to be fucked? What? And then I go through that. I do go through that because service sub, sexual sub, those two things collide. He clearly wanted to have an orgasm. He clearly wanted to get off. Why was I not the chosen one? Like, I want to fulfill the needs he has. Yes. But I also, as an autonomous human being, They're not numerous. That's not like, it's not a scroll that's just going to unscroll for miles. It might be a list of five things that I need that he does not necessarily automatically need. And the thing about relationships is that sometimes, in some ways, we do try to fulfill the other partner's need, even when it's not something that we ourselves care about. Not when it's a hard limit. Like, no. We're not crossing boundaries here. But I know that if tomorrow he was like, okay, we're only going to do slow, sweet, vanilla lovemaking, there'd be much whining in this household. But I also trust him enough and know him well enough to know that if I opened my mouth and communicated my needs and said, I'm going to need you to fuck me rough at least like one out of every three or four times. Could we negotiate that? He would do that for me as long as there was not some physical medical reason he could not do it for me. Yeah. And if he could not do it for me because of the nature of our relationship, he would say, with my blessing, go find somebody who'll fuck you like a bitch and heat. Okay. See you later. Yeah. This is a little off topic, but not. We are at a point in our relationship because it's non-monogamous, because we do talk about literally everything. We're riding down the road the other day and I'm reminiscing about dick I had before I even knew it was kinky. It was a good dick, y'all. It was really good. This dude, he was not much for conversation, and he only ever took me to a Chinese restaurant for food because I said, look, we can fuck. He's my fuck buddy. We can fuck, but you got to feed me, okay? We'll fuck for food. I need this on a t-shirt. And he really liked rough sex. Like, oh, he loved doggy style, which is, oh, my favorite position. And we were in the car just, and you didn't feel threatened?
No.
Also, I was like, here is a way to let me remind him of exactly the kind of sex I really like. Oh, I can't physically have that kind of sex right now because of body problems, but this is the kind of sex I like.
Keeping the pump prime for when.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, because nobody is, I don't think there are a few people who would say, I need to be fucked rough and in this position to be a happy, fulfilled person. But there might be some people who would say that, and more power to you. And I don't need rough sex the way I need submission. But it is one of those things that my life would be less interesting and less good and bright and shiny and kinky without it. So there's a level to our needs, and sometimes fulfilling this need will circumvent all these other needs, and sometimes it will not. Sometimes these other needs are knocking at your internal door going, hello, pay attention to us. And it's time to figure out if those needs can be fulfilled with this partner, with another. Is this partner the right partner for you? I'm telling you, if none of your needs are being fulfilled and you're communicating about your needs, y'all, you're communicating about your needs, then that's time for some serious self-reflection. Is this the right relationship for you? Is this the right dynamic for you? Our first dynamic was definitely more DS than daddy, dom, baby girl.
Oh, yeah.
And and he was resisting. Y'all, we told this story a few times where I was like, do you think you could be a daddy, dom? And he laughed until I called him daddy. I was a good fuck, too. You would think calling somebody daddy would somehow make him gentler and kinder during the fuck. No. That was a good rough fuck. That was a good rough fuck, too. I really like a rough fuck. I need that on a shirt.
Do tell.
I know. I'm being really subtle about it. But when we found the right dynamic for us, it was like a puzzle piece clicking into place.
Again, it all just felt right. Things after that just kind of fell into place.
And sometimes the partner is perfectly fine, and it's the dynamic you're in. It's the way you're exploring your dynamic. It's the things that you needed 2 or 3 years ago, 5 years ago, that maybe you don't need the same way anymore. Maybe you have other needs that you have not explored. So there is that too. But I did want us to have an episode where we said the words, your needs should get met in your DS relationship. Both sides of the slash. It's not always equal. There is a power imbalance. So sometimes the dom's needs are going to get fulfilled more than the sub's needs. But guess what? When I'm sick and I'm hurt, his needs go unfulfilled, or they get fulfilled in a different way. Right? Because my need is that I need to be taken care of, because we also know that while I want to be taken care of, if somebody is not taking care of me, I will run myself into the ground. I'm that person. So he's fulfilling my need to be taken care of and foregoing his own needs. That happens too. That's the give and take of a relationship. In a perfect, wonderful world, both partners are getting their needs met mostly equally at the same time or in the same kind of juxtaposition back and forth. But life is life. And sometimes one of y'all's needs will have to get put to the side just a little bit because you got to take care of the other person. And that works, and it works for us especially because I know that when he's taking care of me, he knows that when it's time for me to take care of him, I will. Mm-hmm. It's a give and take. It's the back and forth. It's not all just my needs have to be met or just his needs have to be met. Some days, just my needs have to be met that day. Like keeping me resting and making me go to bed early and not asking me to, like right now with the physical stuff, not asking me to walk around or fuck or whatever. That's about taking care of me, and he's foregoing some of his needs he might have. And there are outlets. Like, he can't have the sex he wants to have, so he's got sex toys, and he gets himself off. And I'm happy for him, and I'm also a little jealous of a masturbator. I was jealous of a masturbator, yes. It was the offbeat by Godemesh, I'm just saying. but that is the nature of it. And if you are in a relationship where you don't feel like any of your needs are getting met, that's bad. And if you're in a relationship where you can't even name the needs of your partner, you are not paying attention. And even you might be fulfilling them and not know you're fulfilling them, but you should know what some, at least some of their needs are. Not all, maybe, but the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't even name some of those needs, and some of those needs are things I don't want to need. I don't want to need to rest. Really, if I could like go on no sleep, I would. I don't want to need to slow down. But John Brownstone could tell you what I need. I need a healthy diet. I need more exercise than I get. I need more rest than I get. And he's going to take care of those needs. He also now is very, very well aware that I need rough sex. And I need
I would have never guessed.
I know. And I need to serve and I need to submit. And he can name the top ones. And he can probably name some needs I don't even know that I have. And now, if you can't do that for your partner, that's a problem.
I'm going to pose a question to the service submissives out there. All right. Now, I know you are fulfilled by serving, okay, by taking care of your big D's needs. But when you receive acknowledgement for that service, when you receive thanks, does that fulfill you?
I can answer.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But y'all know I'm a gold star baby girl, meaning... it's not a level of submission. I mean, I need gold stars. I need acknowledgement. If I could have a sticker chart.
That's why you like Starbucks so much.
Oh my God, they give me so many gold stars. If I could have a sticker chart. And we did at one point have a sticker chart. Just, I couldn't maintain it. Mm-hmm. I like them. I like them in theory. So I like a thanks. I think, and we've talked about this before, we had a whole episode on attitude of gratitude. I'll try and link to it in the show notes later. I'll try to remember. But... gratitude from the dominant's perspective, you need to show gratitude. It is curious how, as a submissive, do you see it? I do not need thanks for everything I do. I do need thanks from time to time. For me, if he never said thank you, if he never acknowledged what I do for him, I would grow resentful. I have quit jobs over a lack of gratitude. They didn't have to pay me anymore. They needed to fucking acknowledge the work I did for them and that I did do good work, and I knew I did do good work. Y'all know me. Okay. I've quit good paying jobs over it because I grew resentful because they cared about my work because they cared when it wasn't getting done, but not enough to at least say thank you. And not every time. So I know me, I could not be in a relationship where there was never any gratitude.
Right. Shown. So that was going to be the next part of my question is, as someone who serves, would you still continue giving that level of service if you never received any kind of
acknowledgement
for it?
Even the smile of
even,
a happy
even
dog.
The smile. I mean, if all you get was like a,
Right. They acted like you didn't do it at all. And I know there are some dynamics where the service is expected. I think more of master-slave dynamics, which I will fully admit I do not fully understand. I'm not that person. But even in some healthy dynamics I've seen and witnessed, there's still a sense of gratitude. Yes, you are expected to do these things. Here's your list. Here's your this. Here's your that. Yeah. But that doesn't stop you from being a gracious human being. Again.
Yeah.
before our roles, we are all autonomous human beings.
Right.
And certain things, you know, if it is hard for you, I know there are people who are not good for different reasons. Maybe it's a brain wiring thing. Maybe it's a, they don't know how, they weren't taught the skills. They're having to learn it now in their 40s. Like, I get it. We all come from different backgrounds and at different levels in different places. If you are recognizing that you're not good at that, that's a step in the right direction. Are you working on it? Like, what little tricks and hacks can you do if you're not showing gratitude and you feel like, oh, that's probably something that should be done?
So in a sense, judging by what you've been saying, what we've been talking about here, and the reaction from people on YouTube, that gratitude is in a sense a need. That for people who are service oriented, that gratitude is a need that keeps feeding the service. It's a I'm trying to think of the
word. Somebody give us a word. There's a word.
There you know, it's I want to say self-fulfilling, but I don't think that's quite right.
It is. It's also a feedback loop.
Yeah.
It's you give this, you get this, you give this, and as long as one keeps happening, the other keeps happening.
Right.
I think I defined that correctly. Okay. Somebody will correct me because you always do. Yeah. No, and I agree. And there might be some people who don't need that, and that is okay.
Right.
But if I think it's worth a little, it's a little thought experiment. Okay. How do you feel when you get gratitude from the person you're serving? Does it fill you with a little bit of, ooh, a little happy, ooh?
There's been some good words there coming through in the YouTube chat. Self-reinforcing, symbiotic, you know,
Two sides of the same coin is what I would say.
Yeah.
You know, think of any person with power. There are power dynamics that are in every part of our life. Okay, in a classroom, the teacher's in charge, the students are not, right? At work, your boss is in charge, you are not. Unless you're the boss, that's cool. power dynamics work best when there is that back and forth.
Right.
When, yes, of course, the employee is expected to do the job they were hired to do. Of course they were, or they would not work there. Or they should not work there, let me say that. God knows I've worked with some people who should have been fired. Yes, they are supposed to do the job that they were hired to do, of course. But if you want to get more out of them as the boss, you say thank you. You show gratitude. You show appreciation, especially if somebody goes above and beyond, if somebody does a really good job. Yes, in little ways and big ways. In a classroom, the teacher who can praise not just the A student, but the effort of the struggling student gets more out of their students than the teacher who doesn't. The same is true in DS. This is why we have a whole episode on gratitude.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I think it is a worthy thought experiment. If you get a little something, a little positive spark of something as a submissive or a bottom, when your dominant or top shows gratitude, tells you did a good job, thanks you, then that might be something you need, even if you didn't recognize it. Things that... You know, I think we think in terms of big needs. I need a roof over my head. I need food on the table. I need a dominant partner. Big top level needs. And then there are little lower level subtle needs that we don't know their needs until we don't have them. And if you've ever been in a relationship, especially as a service sub, and you grew resentful of your partner because they never once acknowledged what you did for them, you need gratitude. I think we all need more gratitude in our life.
Yeah.
But from a service perspective, that then becomes a need. What are you giggling about?
Jennifer's on to me.
Okay.
About why I'm so nice to the Starbucks baristas.
Yes, because I cannot make every coffee you drink. So
that's
you better be nice to those Starbucks baristas.
That's true.
So... We could talk about this forever.
Yeah.
And yes, and Ben says, even in super high protocol dynamics, feedback matters. Feedback definitely matters.
Yeah.
Feedback comes in a lot of different ways. It comes in gratitude and also comes in sort of a correction. You're not doing something right. Feedback. And feedback goes in both directions.
Yeah.
So that's why communication is so important. So the submissive, you might you might say something in a different way because of your power dynamic, but a submissive also needs the freedom to find a way to be able to say, you know, that thing you did, that didn't work for me. We're at a point where I'm like, that did not work. Yes. Like, I don't like get all meek. And I'm not all like, Daddy, I love you and you're a wonderful daddy, but I got to tell you, no, I go, that did not work. I don't know what you were trying to do over there.
She's like, we ain't doing that shit no more.
Right. That will not work for every dynamic. I know that will not work for every dynamic. That works for our dynamic. And it's one of those things why we joke, he's poly in practice, I'm poly in fantasy, because it took us, we've been together for 6 years. We've known each other almost seven. Mm-hmm. And we're just now to the point where I am so comfortable that I can be this relaxed. I'm a relaxed baby girl, relaxed submissive. Like, we don't stand on a lot of protocol. That doesn't work for us. It doesn't work for me. I think it would work just fine for you. But it does not work for me. And it took me this long to get so comfortable that I could just say what I needed. So I'm like, nobody else has that kind of time. Nobody else wants to wait literal years for me to get that comfortable. Years, y'all. Yeah. Every year I can look back and I can almost track the journey of how comfortable I am. How comfortable I am with myself. I think some of that's a self-confidence thing. How comfortable I am with my submission. Like, every time somebody online tries to say, you're not really submissive, I just laugh now. There was a time many years ago. I think I hit the mic. I'm sorry. Many years ago, where I would have crumbled a little bit and then gone into that whole self thing of, am I really submissive? I don't know. And now I just laugh. I've got that self-confidence and I know who I am to John Brownstone, which is really all that matters.
Right.
But yeah.
Okay,
so I get to moan and complain in the bonus section, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yay.
So are we good?
I don't know. We will see.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Keep it kinky, kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. Daddy, can I talk to the crickets? Please and thank you.
Yes, baby girl, you can talk to the crickets.
I have so much to complain about. Actually, I have very little to complain about, but I could complain about it for hours.
Of course you could.
So I don't know if anybody remembers.
I'm going to step away.
Yes, because you're going to go find the thing so that the video watchers can see the thing.
I'll be back.
So I don't know if anybody remembers. 2018, it really started at the end of 2017. And then went into the first 6 months of 2018. I had some like pinched nerve disc issues in my neck. 6 months it went on. Because at first I thought it was just, oh, I slept wrong. And then I went, oh no, something, this is a pinched nerve. This is a something. Got an MRI, ended up getting steroid shots in my neck, did physical therapy for weeks, was on multiple medications designed to help nerve pain, which just made me loopy, so I ended up not taking them. So after I got my shots in, I think the spring, like maybe May of 2018, I'd have to go back and look. Pain went away. It was like magic. And the doctor had said, these can last forever. They can last a year. They can last 5 years. Like, hey, there's no telling. You might need these again. Okay, fine. But I felt good. I was like, ooh, look at me. I'm feeling good. And I was like, whatever. Well, the other day, the pain came back. And I really do think it's partly because I had not been paying attention to my posture. I've not been exercising like I need to. I need to just do some gentle yoga stretches because, man, when I stretch, I always feel so much better. Just working too hard, not sleeping enough. I was, up until about a week ago, a stomach sleeper for my whole and entire life. I hit the mic again. Because I was born at a time when they used to tell moms to put their babies on their stomachs. And my mom did, and that worked for me. Now it's put them on their backs. I know, but still. I had neck pain. I've had neck pain. And it's funny because if I get into the exact perfect position and then never move again, the neck pain goes away. But what has happened is all the little associated muscles in my body. Honey, don't hurt yourself. John Brownstone is walking in front of the camera, podcast listeners. Or if we'll call that walking, sure. And so now the neck pain, I have gotten a new pillow. I still had some of my old medicine. It hadn't expired yet. So I've been taking that when I sleep. And I've been taking it easy and slowing down and resting and propping myself up and generally taking care of myself. So the neck pain has actually diminished a lot, which is good, which means I might be okay. But now my back is killing me and it's all muscle pain. Because I've got a couple of muscle spasms that keep happening. And then because of how I've been holding my body, all the muscles are like, ooh, bitch, we don't normally do this. We're tired now.
Yeah, we've been putting the...
In the TENS unit. I've been doing the TENS unit.
The electrostim unit has been being used for medicinal purposes.
And moist heat, which feels wonderful. Hot showers feel really good, too. We need more water pressure in our shower because that would really feel good. But so for 2 weeks now, I've been in pain and I have not been sleeping well. And I'm learning how to not sleep on my stomach. I have a special pillow that makes it completely uncomfortable.
Jennifer just asked what kind of pillow
I now have the memory foam one that is meant to support your neck, which feels amazing. Mm-hmm. But it is designed in a way that you cannot comfortably sleep on your stomach. And so I'm forced to sleep on my back or my side. And so I've not been sleeping well. And the pain has been wearing me down just a lot. And it's made me, like, I do my client work because that's what pays the bills and we got to be able to pay rent. But I haven't been doing as much blogging or website stuff or any of the projects I had planned for the past 2 weeks for the YouTube channel, some like admin stuff that you can't really see but are important things to do. Like, I haven't done shit because I don't have the energy. I don't have the time. I've spent days where I just wanted to cry because I was so tired. Not because it hurts so bad. I don't usually cry from pain. I'm masochist. I got a pretty high pain tolerance. but cry from the frustration that I just can't feel better. Like, the one thing stops hurting and then something else hurts. I assure you, when we stand up from this, where we're sitting, podcast listeners, we're actually sitting at our fireplace. What's this thing called? I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, I can't think of the
it's
term.
Not the mantle. It's not that's the mantle. Above us. That's it's above the us. Thing below us. It's above the ground, but it's low to the ground. And when I go to stand up, even with multiple pillows under my butt, I will hurt. I'll probably need to go lay down in the bed. So I'm used to just going. And the only thing that slows me down is my mental health. And I'm really bad.
Hearth.
Thank you. We're sitting at the hearth. And I'm not good with physical health slowing me down. I did not do well during pregnancy. The only real time I've ever had like a quote medical condition was pregnancy. I did not do well then either because I like to be able to do what I want to do. And I follow a lot of people online who have chronic conditions and talk openly about their chronic conditions. And I want to be very careful that I don't whine like, oh, woe is me, because there are people who live with this every day and are trying to figure out how to live with this. And I think I'm on the mend, but I do have even more empathy than I had before, because being forced to slow down and only doing in a day what my body will let me do in a day has been difficult. And I know a lot of people go through it. I'm not special. I know. But it's been hard. And so that's why when we sat down to record earlier and you were like, oh, you seem to be doing good. It's because this is where I'm drawing energy from right now. Talking to you guys is very energizing and it's fooling my mind into thinking I'll have energy when we're done. So I'm like, oh, we could do this and we could do that. No, we cannot. I'm going to get this recording done. And then I'm going to go do something quiet in a relaxed position. I do have a lot of reading to do.
Yeah.
That's been my thing lately. And it's been hard. I mean, they're like thinking about it too hard. It makes me want to cry because not because it hurts. Like I said, that's not going to make me cry, but because I'm just like dejected. Like I want it to be over with. And I think partly because it's like, I don't know if this is a thing that'll be here or if it really is on the mend, or if it's going to be like with your back where it comes and goes, where you have lots of good days and then you have like a week where it's just bad. Like, I don't know. And the reason we have not gone to the doctor is because when we moved, we had to change our insurance policy, and to get one that didn't put us out of house and home, it's a high deductible policy. So it means every time I go to a doctor, I have to pay the full amount.
Yeah.
And yeah, I could pay for a doctor's visit, but my experience the last time I went through this neck thing, it was multiple. And I was going to the physical therapist twice a week. And like, that's not a chunk of change we can really afford right now. Or that I'm willing to spend. If I can doctor it at home and I can learn how to navigate it, then that's what I'm going to do. I am considering going to a chiropractor, because the one thing that made my neck feel better when this happened last time was when they would put it in traction and they'd like manipulate my neck and And I'm thinking I might try a chiropractor. Yeah. My aunt sent me some information about a chiropractor, so I might try that.
I go to a chiropractor on occasion when my back acts up and I can't get it to settle down on its own. I've become kind of good at that. I've been dealing with it for so many years. But I can normally get it to go back into place on its own. But if I can't, I love the chiropractor.
My dad loved the chiropractor when I was a kid.
Couple of adjustments and I'm good to go again.
And I really do think that part of what I need is to get into a routine of stretching. I love yoga. I mean, I'm the least graceful human being on the planet, but I do love the stretching of yoga. I like how it's all body weight exercise. I don't have to like use anything special. And I have some programs I could use that I know I could use, but I think that would help once I get maybe past. I don't know. I just know I am so tired. I'm so tired.
And Ben, I know there have been a lot of cautions about chiropractors. I've been to two different chiropractors and I like them both. What I can say for them is before they ever touched me, they wanted to see the orthopedic report.
Yeah, the last one.
And
was
they
really
also
good.
Wanted to look at X-rays or even MRI, any MRIs that
right.
I've had.
Like they took it seriously. They weren't just quacks.
They didn't just say, oh, well, we're going to bend you this way and twist you that way. They were very cautious. And
It's one thing I do miss about where we used to live. The last one you went to, they did not take our insurance, or I probably would have gone to them last year.
Yeah.
But they were like a whole body kind of thing. So yeah, they would adjust your body and deal with the tension in your body, but they would also do classes on here's some gentle stretching for back problems, for neck problems.
Right.
And they would talk about diet and how nutrition can help with the body, blah, blah, blah. And I really liked them.
Yes.
My dad went to a chiropractor for years. I was a kid for years. He ended up, it's the reason I'm not crying over pain. Another reason I'm not crying over pain. I was raised to have a stiff upper lip about this stuff. My dad had a chronic back condition from the time I was like a year old until the day he died. He had ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Lou Gehrig's disease is the other one. So that's what actually killed him. But for years, he had these massive back problems. And in a span of 14 months, he had a dozen back procedures, some surgery, some not, like serious wild stuff. So hospitals don't scare me. Surgeons don't scare me. Doctors don't scare me. I've been around that. It was during my formative years. But for years before he ever did surgery, he went to a chiropractor. And the only time he felt relief was when he was at that particular chiropractor. And then finally, I was there the day the chiropractor said, there's nothing more I can do for you, and you're degenerating, and you need to see a surgeon or a somebody. And that chiropractor is the one who referred him to the doctor he ended up having for years and years and years. I see, but I've also known some quacks. I've also like there's some scary people out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I like the idea of holistic. I like the idea of taking care of my body from the inside and the outside. I know I carry a lot of muscle tension in my neck. I still remember physical therapy. So the first time I went to physical therapy, she was so cool. She was like, okay, so tell me what you do for a living. I'm like, I'm a freelance writer. She's like, so you sit at a desk all day long. Yes, yes, I do. How many hours? And I laughed. And she said, more than 8? Some
she
days,
lives at her desk, yeah.
I was like, there are days it's a 12, 14-hour day. Yeah, I get up, I walk the dog, I go to the refrigerator, I get something to drink, I come back. She's like, but nobody is meant to sit at a desk for that long. I'm like, haha. She goes, so show me what it looks like when you're sitting at your desk. And I kind of gave her an idea. And she went, oh my God, you're sitting at it all wrong. She's like, you need to raise your chair up, you need to do this, you need to do that. And it's funny, that adjustment of putting my keyboard at, like, so my arms are parallel and my monitor up at eye level and raising my chair and bending my knees and sitting properly, that's immediate relief. I can always tell when I'm not sitting right. I can always tell when I've slumped down. But yeah, I'm back to, and I know I'm back to working too long sitting at my desk. And I'm sure that aggravated it too. So to me, it's not just, I'm not a case where I'm going to need neck surgery maybe ever. Maybe it might not be that bad. Maybe it will be. I'm not scared of it if it happens because, like I said, I was raised in that environment where that kind of stuff happened. But if I can take care of my body in multiple ways to keep it functioning longer, is our dog going to come join the bonus section? Nobody can see on the camera though, little Saki. Then that's what I want to do because I need this body to keep functioning for as long as it possibly can. So are you nervous because there's thunder outside, Saki? Oh, you're trembly. Do you want to get up here? No, you do not want to jump into my lap. I'm trying, YouTube watchers. The dog will not come on camera. So, yeah, I've just been tired and a little, like, down in the dumps about it. And it's funny because I prefer to talk to y'all here on the podcast in the video because this is probably the largest section of the audience that I've got. But it's like, I was like, well, do I tell people on Twitter? Well, God, I've got 4 Twitter accounts. Who do I tell on Twitter? Do I say something on Instagram? Well, shit, I've got 2 Instagram accounts. Do I say something on the website? Which website? There's 4 fucking websites. And there's this, I feel like I want to tell people where the hell I've been because I'm not blogging and I'm not publishing and I'm not doing the things I normally do. And yet I'm like, that's too many damn people to tell. Let me just tell the widest audience at one time and people will catch it or they won't. And I'm fine. I mean, I'm fine. I went out and I ran errands today. We're going to go out to dinner tonight. I'll have a bad day and then I'll have a good day. And, it is what it is, but yeah, that's my whining and complaining.
All right. And I'm going to end it on a good note. Please. I am going to show off the paddle I made for the giveaway. This is a little different than some of the other paddles I've made and yet in some ways the same. But it's a little thinner, and I used an exotic wood called Bocote, B-O-C-O-T-E. And I just love the grain in this wood and the way it popped as I was working it. I think it's beautiful. Kayla looked at it when I was still working on it in the shop before it was even sanded, and her jaw just dropped.
It's gorgeous. And for podcast listeners, we will get it up on social media.
Yep, we'll have pictures. Just haven't taken pictures of it yet. And that's why I figured let me show it off first here on the YouTube video. Mm-hmm. So anyway, here it is. I'm looking off to the side because I want to see how I'm holding it in the camera. And there it is. It really came out.
It's a heavy wood too.
It's heavy. It's pretty beefy. And,
Do I hit my arm? I haven't been hit in days. Ow! If you can imagine, it is both heavy and stingy. So I got a thud, but then there was a sting right afterwards.
Yep. It's really beautiful. I love the grain of this wood. And I used a little different finish for this than I normally use. It's something new that I've been working with, and it leaves the wood with a very, very natural feel and color to it. And it is, I'm trying to think of the word, I'm having trouble with words now. It's body safe, totally body safe finish.
Yeah, so not that that should go in an orifice, but I guess it could.
Yeah.
And Jennifer asked if it's bendy. It is not.
No,
it is hard wood.
That is a hard wood. No bend in this. No give on this whatsoever.
No, if you bend it, you've broken it, so don't do that.
Yep, not bendy at all. Probably not. I only was able to ever get one piece of this wood.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, it's kind of unique in that way. If I ever find more of this wood, I will make them and put them up on the website. This wood was a special find. I've always got my eyes open for different exotic woods that I can find that can be used for the paddles. This was very unique. And when I saw it, I snatched it, and it's actually had been sitting in the shop since before the move.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize you had it that long.
Yeah. But, there it is. And, dangerous fun.
And that's part of the giveaway prize pack. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about this year's giveaway.
Yeah.
So excited about this year's giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, growing as a podcast, so maybe even next year it'll be a bigger giveaway. You never know.
Yeah. Ben, I had always been taught, Ben asked about hitting the inside of the arm works well for stingy toys, but duddy toys can cause injury. Any toy can cause injury. You know, I hit my forearm. I always test any toy out on my forearm, but I realize, you know, it is a forearm.
It's, yeah, they're delicate. The veins are, you know, like right there.
The veins, the bone underneath, you know, I am not hitting like I am giving a spanking. I am looking more for feel to tell whether it is thuddy or stingy.
Yeah.
You know, I am not giving a full on hit.
I don't know if you can see it in the light. I have a little itty bitty red mark from the way the little bit you hit me, and then you have a really big red mark from hitting yourself. Yeah. And that was not at full full strength. Yeah, mine's kind of light.
See. Yeah, it it left a mark.
Yep. So just imagine what. Oh, you hit
the
mic.
I hit the mic.
Imagine what it'll do when it hits a butt.
Yeah, I mean, I even try floggers out that way, and you know, I'll take and flip them, just to get a feel. Canes,
never
same
at
thing.
Full strength.
You know,
never like you would hit a butt.
Never
or
like
back
you're hitting
a,
hitting someone's butt.
If you could, probably the closest you could go, it wouldn't be the same feel. It would be a thigh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you've also tested toys out on your thigh before.
Yeah, on the back of my thigh.
Oh, is that on the back? Oh,
yeah, yeah. Again, not in the front because you have the bone is to the top.
I am the stunt
back.
Ass. Okay.
Yeah.
When he's testing toys, he goes arm,
quality
he goes leg,
control.
And then I turn around and like I don't like I should know how one hits oneself.
Yeah, whips. Yeah. Whips will leave a mark for a while.
Yeah, which is I think part of the fun of whips.
Yeah.
If I could get the marks without the sting, if I could get the marks without the sting, it has not happened yet.
I am keeping an eye that whip that I had an eye on, that bedroom whip. It's sold.
I know you told me that was down.
But I'm keeping an eye out for when he puts another one up on his site.
What site is that for anybody else who's interested in whips?
Jack's Floggers on Etsy.
On Etsy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're based out of the UK, right?
Mm-hmm.
But shipping is reasonable. They ship to the US.
They ship worldwide, yeah.
So. Yeah, so that's us.
Yeah.
That's a lot of us.
It is.
I love you guys. I don't know why you listen to our ramblings, but I love that you do. Because I think my head would explode if I didn't have a place to go ramble once a week.
I know.
I think that is truly what would happen. So a quick shout out to our patrons who are at that level on Patreon. Mm-hmm. That would be Lorana, Jay, Conduit of Queerness itself, Laura and James, Bella Pink Baby Girl, and CDC. Who I do know CDC was watching. I don't know, was Lorana watching this time or Laura? I don't know. If y'all were watching live, great. If not, and you hear this later, we love you. And just another reminder, you can join us on patreon.com/KaylaLords. And once we get to 100 kink patrons, even though I have enjoyed sitting at 69 patrons, I'm just saying I like that. Once we get to 100, we're going to do a giveaway just for patrons, and we'll do some other special stuff. So, and we have our eye on a camera for the YouTube watchers.
Yeah,
we have to figure out if we can make it where it's on sale, and we have a $50 off coupon, which would make it like way, way, way less expensive. But it's not just the camera. We have accessories we have to buy to go with it. So
I've been doing some looking into that. The camera could and should work, but I would also need to look into a capture card, if I'm saying
it
correctly.
Right, if we want to do live streaming through the camera.
Through the camera would have to be done with a capture card, which the camera goes into the capture card into the computer.
And then if we want to use that mic for the other videos that aren't this, where we hook up our podcast mics, then we have to get a mic that attaches to the camera.
Boom mic.
Thank you. So, but we think we might have. So that is also one of the things that's going on. So patreon.com/KaylaLords. We love you guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank
if you
so
enjoyed
much.
The video, if you're watching on YouTube, thumbs it up.
Yep.
Yeah. Thumbs it up. I'm sure that's really
thumbs
an expression.
Up
if you're watching and you're not subscribed,
hit the subscribe button.
Subscribe. Cause my question is why? Why would you be
and
here?
Then
you're
once you're subscribed, hit the little bell button. So you get notified of new videos and content that we upload.
Supposedly it works.
Yeah.
Mine works. When I'm on YouTube on my phone, my little subscription thing at the bottom, I'm like, oh, there's new videos. And then I go and I watch them. And if you are on listening by podcast, make sure you subscribe so new episodes are downloaded automatically, and give us a rate or review or however your particular podcast app works so that other people can find us, and make sure you enter the giveaway. And I'm trying not to belch into the microphone and I'm failing. And we love you guys. Yeah. And thank you.
Thanks. And it's always cool to hang out with you.
I know. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.